I want to start this morning by talking about something that maybe you remember from your school days. Maybe anybody remember what an oxymoron is? An oxymoron. What is it? What is an oxymoron?
Jumbo shrimp.
Yes, jumbo shrimp. What? So what is that?
Absolutely, what do you mean?
Yeah, so you got two different words, right, that mean two different things, like jumbo and shrimp, right? You separately, one means big, one means little, but you put them together and it kind of makes sense. We've created new meaning out of this. It means something completely different. So, you know, we use oxymorons so much in our world, we don't even really think about them anymore, right? So I do want to focus on that just for a moment. I want to show you some awfully good examples of them. See, Phil was here, he would have gotten that. Get it? Awfully good examples, see? All right, so, we don't even really think about it. Think about, like, the Great Depression. Because you think about those two words separately. Great, right? You're doing great. And depression. Yet they don't go together, but we mean something else totally. How about an unbiased opinion? Right, by definition, I don't think you can have an unbiased opinion. How about pretty ugly? Right, that dog is pretty ugly. Or this one is my favorite, and I was thinking through this week, kind of looking for some good ones. Did you hear about that girl who was found missing? That one doesn't even make sense, right? Or if you were at VBS, this might be old news to you, right? And how can you have old news? But if you're there, you guys might have heard that Courtney totally flipped out at VBS when Chris showed her this gross picture of a spider, right? That's old news, though, Bucky, you might be telling me that. Courtney, that's for you. So our series this month is a bit of an oxymoron. We're calling it Necessary Sins. So what in the world does necessary sins mean? Well, there are some sins in our world today that I think we would all agree are never okay, right? That people that don't even go to church would say these things are never okay. It doesn't even matter what the context is. These are things like murder. Murder is never a good thing, right? Rape, always wrong. Stealing, that's another big one in our culture. But then unfortunately, there are these other sins that some people might say are a little more acceptable, or they're a little more understandable. Some of us might even go so far as to say they are necessary in life. But even though these sins have become necessary or acceptable in our culture, that doesn't mean they're acceptable in the eyes of God. And so what we're going to do over these next 4 weeks is we're going to look at four of the more ordinary sins that many of us, including myself, might rationalize and say, well, that's just a part of doing life, right? But we're going to be looking at them not from our perspective, not from the culture's perspective, but we're going to look at them from God's perspective. What does he and his word have to say about this? So as we start this series together, what I want us to do is I want us to pray a very powerful prayer together. This is a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And I want us to read it together. And as we do this, I don't just want us to say the words, but I want us to really think them through and pray them from our hearts. So please join me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So God, we ask you to point out anything in our lives that offends you. Anything we may think has become necessary for our lives, but we're really just fooling ourselves. Help us to see the truth of our own sin and the changes that we need to make so that we bring you honor and glory as your children. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so now as I introduce our first topic this week, our first necessary sin, I want to start by sharing a story. There is an old preacher trick that many pastors have played on congregations throughout the years, which I'm not going to play on you, so you don't need to worry, right? This particular trick, though, I gotta tell you, it does make me really thankful that I was raised in the Catholic Church, because they would not have done this in the Catholic Church back then. Because I would have totally fallen for this trick. This would have been one that I would have fallen for. I learned about it from a friend of mine at a local Baptist church in southern Arkansas. It goes to Beach Street Baptist Church, right? That's where I used to spend my summers in this, like, VBS program that they had. It was really called Singing School. But anyway, that's another story. But at that time, it was common for a pastor to give the congregation an assignment, right? Something along the lines of, we're going to read Ephesians 4 this week during the week, and I really want you to read it. It's going to be important for next week's sermon. You know, we've done similar things like that here at Northside. When we preached on all the little books of the Bible, right, we all asked everybody, let's go home and let's read that little tiny book of the Bible this week. And we gave out bookmarks, so we tried to memorize the verses together. So, not a big deal for pastors to do that kind of thing. Well, there was this one time when the pastor made a really big deal of doing it. He said it was going to be so important, this was going to be a really, really important sermon, so let's all get ready for it, right? So it'd be like saying, I want you to go home this week, and everybody, I want you to read Mark 17. And he said it would be crucial for that sermon. So everybody who was diligent, you know, wrote it down. Let's write it down, make sure I do that. They come into church the next week, and the pastors ask them, did you guys do your homework, right? Did you guys actually go and read Mark 17? And people were kind of, you know, like they always are when a pastor asks any question, like, So he wanted an answer, so he said, would you please raise your hand if you did the homework? And you know, they were hesitant, and a few of them started to raise their hands, and all in all, there were about five or six people who raised their hands. And he made a really big deal out of it. He says, I can't believe only six of you would go home and read your homework this week. He says, you know what? I want to take a minute and honor these people. I'd like for these six people to please stand. So we had everybody stand, which you can imagine, right, if you were that one person, the smile that would be on your face as you were being honored in front of the church. So they stand up and everybody applauds them and they're smiling and the six of them there. And the pastor says, okay, you guys sit down and I want everybody else to take out, you know, the Bible that's in your pew, because in Southern Baptist churches there's always a pew Bible, right? And turn to Mark 17 so we can read it together. He starts flipping through, you know, Mark 14, Mark 15, Mark 16, Luke 1. They go back and they look through it again. Mark 14, 15, 16, Luke 1. Because there was no Mark 17. Doesn't exist. Can you imagine, right, being one of those people that just stood up? That's when the pastor probably announced, today's sermon is on I wasn't even there, and just thinking about that story, doesn't it like put a pit in your stomach, right? Because if I would have been there, there would have been seven people standing. Anybody else would think, would you have told me to sit out there?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Or how about this, just so I don't feel so alone this morning. Anybody here ever told a lie in your life? Raise your mind, anybody ever told a lie in your life? Yeah, you can look at the person next to you, it's okay, you know. It is amazing how natural lying comes for us. Right? I mean, when you were a little kid, no one had to sit you down and teach you how to lie, I hope, right? It's just one of those things that comes naturally. You know, if you've seen some of those YouTube videos where that cute little kid looks something like this, he's got chocolate all over his face, and the mom says, do you know who took the cupcake? And he's like, I have no idea who took the cupcake. Or another one they have out there is they've got the little girl with makeup all over her face, right? Did you use my lipstick or whatever it was? No, we hit that up, right? It's got like a million shares and views. We love it. And the interesting thing to me is that, you know, we all kind of laugh at those kind of things. It's become really cute to us. And some of us even have stories that we reminisce about and we smile with smiles on our faces, right? Remember that one time I got caught telling this kind of lie and I was so foolish, I can't believe I did this. But here's that truth again that no one likes to hear. Just because something has become cute or acceptable in our society doesn't mean it's become acceptable to God, right? So how does God feel about lying? So glad you asked. He hates it. Right, take a look at Proverbs 12:22. Right? The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Now, we don't use that word detests a lot. I'm not sure if we really comprehend how strong that word is. If you were to look up the original language in the Hebrew, the word actually means disgusting or an abhorrence. Like something that would make you nauseous. So I'm not going to show you any pictures up here this morning of things that would make you nauseous, because we all know vomiting can be contagious, and I don't want to be that pastor that one Sunday made everybody get sick. But if you have a good imagination, you can probably imagine something that's disgusting and that would make you nauseous. When I was a boy, just to make a point, right, just to get you thinking of nauseous things. And by the way, if you're sensitive, if you have a sensitive stomach, you might want to plug your ears. This is just a tiny little story. When I do this, you can take them back out again. When I was a little boy, it was my job to pick up the dog poop in the backyard so that the yard could be mowed. And every once in a while, you know, as fall hits, you don't need to mow the yard that often. because the temperature is there. And so I think I waited like a month before I picked up the dog poop in the back of the yard. And we didn't do it like the northerners up here. You guys all have these bags in here. Like, we didn't do that in the south. We had like the scooper, right? So we pick it up with the scooper, which may or may not work, right? It wasn't all, especially if the grass is a little bit longer, then it just gets gross. And I remember this one time when the pile, I'll just call it a pile, when the pile broke open, and there were maggots in the pile. And so you've got the smell, and you've got the sight, and I just started gagging instantly, right? Just started gagging. That's what this word means. It's disgusting, right? God hates lying so much, it makes him sick. Now, why does it make him that sick? Well, I'm guessing it has something to do with the enemy, Satan, right? Because John 8:44 says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to truth, for there was no truth in him. See, when Satan lies, he is speaking his native language because he is a liar. That's why this verse calls him the father of lies. You know, that might be why our lies make God sick in his stomach. Now, some of us might say, oh, it's just a part of life. Oh, this is a necessary evil. There we are with an oxymoron again. But God despises it. So what I want us to do this morning is I want us to dig a little deeper into our lives and into our lies so that we can give some thought into how, right? How we lie. And more importantly, dig down deeper into why we lie. So let's start with the how. Because I think the how is going to help us understand the why. How do we lie? Well, I think there are about three main ways that we lie. First one is rather obvious, right? We lie to other people. This is not a newsflash, right? We know that we lie to other people. What might be a newsflash, however, is the amount of times we lie. So, according to research, I did not make this up, do not get mad at me, but according to research, women lie, any guesses? 3 times a day. This is on average, so some less, some more, but averages out to be 3 times a day. That might sound like a lot to you, it might sound not like a lot to you, but when you start doing the math, you realize that's 1,000 times roughly a year, statistically, that women lie, right? Not bad. How about guys? How do you think the guys did? Right? Before we start to pop out our chests, let's do a little look at the research says here. The average man lies 6 times a day. Right? Now, I don't know why that is for sure. Maybe he's trying to impress somebody. You know, maybe he's trying to avoid a fight with someone he may or may not be married to. But we guys have this whole like other culture, right, where we try to one up our buddy. You know, where one person might say, oh, I caught a fish this big. Like, oh yeah, I went fishing the other day, I caught a fish this big. And someone else goes, nothing one time, whatever. He goes on and on and on. The average man lies 6 times a day. That's over 2,000 times a year. Now I know, you might look up here and look at me and you might think to yourself, but Bucky, surely that's not you, right? It's impossible for you to lie because you are a pastor. And I would love to say you're right, but then that would be one of my 6 for the day. These past couple weeks, as I've been thinking through my own lying patterns, you know, preparing for the sermon, trying to do some introspection, I kept trying to think of that one big lie that would be like just the perfect illustration of this one time that I just did something huge and it was a really, really powerful thing. But what I kept coming across were all these little bitty lies that really, I don't even know why I tell them. They don't even make a difference really in my daily life. Last week I was talking to my mom, and mom, if you're listening to this sermon, I'm sorry, I won't call you later. She lives in Louisiana, but she listens online. Right, or so she said. So anyway, talking to my mom, and part of the conversation, we were talking about a friend that one of the boys had over. It was for a play date, and you know, at this point, Maria had just taken the young man home, and we were talking about what the boys were up to, and things were getting loud in the background as they usually do in my house. And my mom says, "You know, oh well, you know, sounds like you have a lot going on over there, so I don't want to keep you any longer." So I say, without any premeditation at all, I didn't even plan it, I just said, oh yeah, I gotta take that kid home, I'll talk to you later. And we end the conversation. I end the conversation, I held the phone in my hand, I was like, why? Why did I say that? He already went home. It wasn't like I needed to manipulate the conversation to get off the phone. She clearly already wanted to get off the phone with me. It just slipped out, right? Think about what that says about me. It says that I'm so used to lying that it's second nature for me. I'm embarrassed by it and confessing it. I will make it right later, right? But that's the truth. And then, yeah, right after, as soon as she hears this online, I'll have to know. And then earlier this week, I went to the eye doctor to get my contacts. And I use the kind that you can sleep in, right? They're day and night, so you don't have to take them off, and you can wear them for a month. But a few years ago, I discovered by accident that they will last a lot longer than 1 month, right? Because unless you have it on your calendar, you might end up wearing them for much, much longer. So they don't recommend that. The doctors don't want you to do it, but I do it regularly now. And so there I am, ordering my contacts with the receptionist at the eye doctor, and she just flat out asks me, right? Because I was only ordering half a year's worth of contacts, which seemed odd to her, instead of a full year's. And she asked me, do you wear your contacts longer than a month? And it came out faster than I could think of it. I just said, no. I lied again, right? I'm not proud of it. I have to go back to that doctor to pick up my lenses, and I will be honest this time, I promise. But it is so second nature that it often just slips out without any thinking. I seem to have this defensiveness, this kind of self-preservation instinct where my first reaction is to say whatever brings me the path of least resistance. So I was convicted this week, though, of my selfishness and my natural instinct that if I stop and think about it, really makes me look a lot more like the enemy, the father of lies, than it makes me look like my heavenly father. And how sad is that? I was really overtaken by that this week. I don't know if that does anything for you, but you know, I so often think about my boys and when they do stuff that I think, well, that's me coming out of their mouths, or that's the way I used to do, or I used to act, and I think about who I'm looking like in those moments. And that's the first way we lie. We lie to others. The second way we lie, which we don't often think about, is we lie to God. Oh, there I am. No. We lie to God. Now, how is it even possible to lie to God who knows everything? Well, in Acts chapter 5, there is an interesting story about a time when the early believers in the church decided to sell a lot of their possessions so they could give their money to help people in need. And there was this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they decided to do a little creative financing. They were going to sell some property, and they said they were going to give all that money to help the poor. But really what they did was they held back a portion for themselves. I don't know why they lied, but this is when Peter confronts them. He said, Acts 5:4, the property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. In other words, you didn't have to do it. No one made you do it. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. So how could you think like this? How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Now, I'm not sure how far we can take that statement about lying to God, but I think it's safe to say that when we misrepresent the truth to the body of Christ, to the community of believers, in one way, yes, we're lying to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But in another way, we're lying to God. And here's the deal. The more we lie to others and the more we lie to God, before you know it, we're not just telling lies. Really, we're living lies. And that's when things in our lives get really dark. All right, so we lie to others, we lie to God. And the last way that we lie, which is another way we don't often think about, is we lie to ourselves. Psalm 119, 27 through 29 says, help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I love that last verse, verse 29. Keep me from lying to myself. Because the problem with lying to ourselves, as opposed to lying to other people and lying to God, is that the more you do it, the more you start to believe it. I mean, you can lie to God all you want, right? God knows the truth, and it doesn't matter how many times you tell him, you're not going to convince him, right? God knows the truth. And usually when you lie to other people, the more you lie to them, the less they believe you. But with yourself, the more you lie, the more you start to believe your lies. And most people who believe their own lies, they don't even see how deceived they are. Those are the people that when everyone around them says, you know, you got a problem with this, they usually say, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem at all, right? Everybody might think I'm a drunk, but I'm not a drunk. I just like beer, right? I can quit at any time. Just don't want to right now. Or a lot of times in a marriage or a relationship, one person will say, I'm not the problem. It's all her problem. Or maybe, you know what? That guy's a total this, right? It's not my problem. It's his problems. And we start deceiving ourselves in that way because we forget that in any relationship, you're both part of the problem. You know, one of my biggest fears for the church in general, and then Northside in specific, is that there might be some of us who are lying to ourselves about our relationship with God. You know, we say, I'm okay. I'm good with God. God and I are fine. But the reality is, we're not living our lives according to the way that His Word says we should be living our lives. We're not truly following Christ. There was a time in my own life that was true, right? College, a little bit past that. I talked a good talk, but I was not living obediently to God's Word. I was not really concerned about His will for my life, quite the opposite. I would encourage us all, if you haven't had that moment, to stop and look at your own life, not just at what you say you believe, but what your actions show how you're living. We all need to do that, right? To stop and look at how we're living our lives. You need to ask yourself, are we in God's Word on a regular basis? Do you read it? And then once you read it, do you live it out in relationships? Do you give grace to others, or are you keeping track of the wrongs they've committed against you? Are we able to forgive, or do we keep hanging on to resentment? Does your calendar reflect godly priorities, right? Are you making the time to read? But also, are you getting to church on a regular basis? Are you finding ways to serve in ministry? Are you spreading the gospel message to the people around you? Our relationship with God is the single most important thing in our lives. We cannot deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay if we're not. And 1 John 2:4 says, if someone claims, I know God, but that person doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Those aren't Bucky's words. This is not something we want to leave to chance. And if you're not sure, find a godly friend. Find someone who you know loves Jesus and loves you, and sit down and have a conversation. Right? That's why we have the body of Christ, so that we can encourage one another in our relationships. Right? So that's the how we lie. But now let's get down to the heart of the matter. Let's talk about not just what we do, let's talk about why we do it. Why do we lie 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day? Why do we believe that a lie is better than the truth? For some of us, we might slip into that category of, it makes life easier, right? Like, I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. I just want to make myself look better, or I believe this will help me get ahead in life, something along those lines. For others, once we start down that line of thinking, it kind of snowballs, where the more we lie, the more we're tempted to lie, the more we have trouble identifying with the truth, right? And then, as we talked a few minutes ago, that's not only telling lies, that's when we're living lies. So I want us to stop for just a moment and ask ourselves the question, why? Think about whatever lies come to your mind this week, or whenever the last time was you lied. What's your motivation for it? Typically. There might be a couple of reasons. But why is it that we believe in the moment that a lie would be more effective than the truth? Is it to protect the feeling of other people? Is it to make ourselves look better? Or maybe we don't like the truth. Maybe we don't like what's going on in our lives, and so we tell a lie because we think it's just better than what's really going on. Is it to impress people? Or maybe we're just afraid of what they would say if we told them the truth. For me, the reason I came up with is because somewhere deep down inside, I have to believe that the lie is better than the truth. In other words, for me, it's better to say, nope, I don't wear my contacts for more than a month, than just to say, I know it's not recommended, but it doesn't hurt my eyes and it helps me save money, right? Somewhere I think my self-conceived lies are better than honoring God with the truth. Think about that. Somewhere deep down inside, when we say those lies, somewhere we believe that telling our self-conceived lies are better than honoring God with the truth. And that is the biggest lie of all that we tell ourselves. That's a huge lie that we believe. Sometimes we might be tempted to think, well, if I lie, it'll bring me security because then I don't have to explain my actions, right? But the reality is, the more we lie, the more insecure we are. And honestly, we can't build a life of integrity on a foundation of lies. Now, sometimes we might think, if we lie, then people will like me more, and I'll have a better relationship. But the truth is, we can't have a real relationship that's built on lies. So then what do we have when we lie? What do we get out of it? we have something that's untrue, that is stealing the thing we desire most, right? We want security, but it makes us insecure. Because next time we think that's what made us successful, so we gotta think of that again. Or we want a real relationship, but really lies just destroy and sabotage relationships. Why do we do that? Don't forget, we have an enemy called the Father of Lies. And it's his goal to distance us from the truth. And whether he does that through influence directly in us, or whether he influences the culture that then influences us, he is doing it. He knows the more lies we believe, the more lies we tell, the less truth that lives inside of us, and the further away we are from God's truth. And think about it this way. Think about, this is truth with a capital T. This is God's truth. And imagine over here, this is me, or that me might be you. Think about it as you, right? But this is the true you, or the true me. Because normally I would like to present the good Buffy, right? The one that always makes right choices, that never lies, that never does wrong things. But that's not who that is, right? This is the real me, with all my struggles, with all my bad stuff. And the more distance there is between God's truth and the real me, the more I feel like I have to lie. I have to. Right? Because I don't want you to know how far away I am from the truth, so I lie. I want to convince myself that I'm not that far away from God's truth. So I lie to other people, I lie to God, and I lie to myself. I do it because it makes me feel better about that distance. But the more I start to believe the truth about who God says I am, because remember, truth is not just an idea. We're not talking about an idea here. We're talking about a person, right? The truth is Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So the more I believe what the capital T truth Jesus says about me, the more I stop believing the lies which distance me from him. Jesus says, when I bring my sins to him, I am forgiven. When I believe that, I take a step towards the truth. I take a step towards him. When I believe that I am a righteous child of God, because not because of what I've done, but because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, when I believe that, I take a step closer to the truth. When I believe that I am who he says I am, I take a step closer to the truth. See, I get closer to God's truth, not by what I do, but first by what I believe, and then my actions will follow my belief. Because when you believe what Jesus says about you, right, when you really believe you are who he says you are, then you act like it, right? And you take a step closer to the truth, capital T. Suddenly, you don't have to lie anymore because you're closer to Jesus. You know who you are. And it's not the lies that are going to bring you peace and security and strengthen your relationship, but it's Jesus who's going to do those things. I don't know about you guys, but when I lie, it doesn't matter if it's little or big, right? It catches me on the phone. I sat there with a nothing lie, and I held my phone looking at it because I knew just the moment I say it, pow. I don't know what it is. Could be my spirit. It's Holy Spirit pointing it out in my life, right? You might have thought about a time in your life when you've had to juggle a few lies. Remember that pit that you get when you know you've told a lie and you've got to keep track of it? You have to keep thinking, who's going to catch me? Do they really believe me? Then usually we have to tell more lies to cover up the lies we started with. But when we live in the truth, what does Jesus say about it? It does what for us? Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, say it with me, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So even if it's those little bitty, you know, these make life easier, common white lies, however you want to think about them, or if it's the, you've been living a lie, deceiving other people around you, saying one thing, but knowing deep down inside you're someone else, afraid you're going to get caught. All you need to do to get out of that cycle is start believing the truth. Right? First, if you haven't done it, believe in Jesus. Believe who he says he is, and then start believing who he says you are. Believe what he says about you, and just like that, right, you're closer to the truth now than you were 2 seconds ago. And when you get to that truth, you'll know the truth sets you free, because there is freedom in being who you were created to be. So why do we lie? Because we're not living the truth. Because we're over here believing that our lives are better than being loved in the security and the grace of God. And so today and from every day now on, when we wake up, let's call on him. Right? God, help me to be who you called me to be. Help me to know the truth about who I am. Help me to know what you say I am. Not what the world says I am. Not what my family says I am. Not what some kid in my past or some adult in my past says who I am. Not what the enemy says I am, but who you call me to be. Help me to believe the truth over the lies. I don't want to believe the lies of this world and the enemy anymore. And then every single day, we move closer and closer to God's truth and closer to Jesus. And you don't have to lie, because Jesus is enough. And because in him, you are enough. His truth will set you free. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and just openly acknowledge that we are sinful people. We are, whether it's 3 times a day, 6 times a day, 30 times a day, 1 time, whatever it is, Father, we are sinful people. We call ourselves your children, but so often we follow the world, and we are sorry. Sorry for the lies we tell the world, sorry for the lies we tell you, and sorry for the lies we tell ourselves. I want to pray first, if there's anyone here this morning who has believed their own lies, anyone who's told the same lie for so long they've convinced themselves, would you show them this morning the truth? Would you break through the bondage of the enemy and show us the truth of the lies that we believe? Whether it comes from someone else, an enemy. And for those of us here who are fighting against those thoughts right now, stop it. Stop trying to justify it. If God has brought something to you this morning, then own it and take a step closer to him. I pray for those who need to take some action and some ownership of our own lives. Show us, Father God, where we might need to ask for forgiveness or for some help from someone else. Show us if there's anybody here who needs to acknowledge our lies this morning, and maybe some people we've heard of them. And help us all to get into your word, not only because we know it's good for us, but because we need to understand who we truly are. We need to understand who you say we are, who we were created to be, so we can start living like it. Help us to see us, Father, as you see us. Help us stop walking in the wrong direction with our lies, to stop following the Father of lies, and start following you. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.